Welcome to the Shiur Ramban Parshas Devarim. The Ramban I wanted to take a look at today is towards the end of the Sedra, and it focuses on a series of psukim that we read every year when we get to Parshas Devarim. And maybe I'm just speaking for myself, not for any of the august assemblage who's here, but my tendency year in and year out when we encounter these psukim is sort of to read quickly through them and not really pay too much attention to them. The Pasuk says in Perek Beis, Pasuk Tes, Vayomer Hashem Eli, Hashem said to me, to Moshe Rabbeinu, he's recounting the story of how they were traveling through the desert. They came to the border of Moab, and Hashem said to me, Al Totsaris Moab, Al Tiskar Bo Milchoma. Don't bother the Moabim, don't make a war against them. Ki lo eten lechomi arzo Yerusha, I'm not going to grant you any of the land of Moab as your inheritance. Moab is going to stay Moab. It can't become part of the Yerusha of Klal Yisrael. Ki livnei Lot, nosati yisar Yerusha. Or the capital city of Moab and the whole area surrounding it, I've given to the children of Lot. It's their inheritance. Belongs to them. You can't touch it. You may recall we spoke a couple of weeks ago in Parshas Pinchas, how this commandment, Al Totsaris Moav, don't start up with the Moavim, don't wage any milchama against the Moavim. The Ramban says that's the reason at the end of, although both Moav and Midian participated in the terrible event that took place in Shittim, when primarily it was the Benos Moav, the daughters of Moav, who enticed and seduced Klal Yisrael, both to be involved in immoral acts as well as in Avodah Zarah. Notwithstanding that fact, the Jews were commanded to fight against the Midianim, not against the Moavim. Why not the Moavim? It sounds like the Moavim were the greater participants in that terrible act. So the Ramban says, is this pasuk? Al Totsaris Moav. You're right, really the Moavim deserve it. But because the Moavim are descendants of Lot, who's ultimately related to Avram Avinu, so the Ribbono Shel Olam said, you know what, leave them alone. They deserve it, but leave them alone. You're not allowed to fight with them. Okay, fine. So they're not allowed to go into Moav. And then we have the following three psukim. Ha'emim lefanim yashvuva, that land which is now controlled by the Moavim, used to be that a nation called the Emim, literally the frightening ones, would inhabit that area. Am godo virav varam ka'anokim, a great and mighty nation, they were as powerful and as great, as high as giants. Rifa'im yechashvu avheim ka'anokim. Really, the Rifa'im were also considered to be like giants. V'amoavim yikru lohem aimim. But the Moavim used to call the Rifa'im aimim. In other words, if you put the two psukim together, the Rifa'im used to inhabit this area before it was conquered by Moav. And by the way, in case you ever get asked the question in a trivial pursuit game or something like that, you should know that the Rifa'im were referred to by the Moavim as Emim. Okay, now you know. Furthermore, Uvisayer Yoshua Achorim Lefonim, in the land of Seir, which we know was ultimately taken over by the descendants of Esav and made into the country of Edom, once upon a time, a nation called the Chorim inhabited that land. Uvnei Esav Yiroshum Vayashmidu Mipneim Vayeshvu Tachtom. The children of Esav came in, they conquered the Chorim, they took over that land. Kasher Oso Yisrael Eretz Yerushaso Asher Nosan Hashem Lohem. In a fashion similar to the way that Klal Yisrael took over their land, and the way Klal Yisrael took over Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael, so similarly the Bnei Esav took over the land of the Chori in Seir, and they inhabited that. What's the point of all of this information? What do I care? Rifa'im, Emim, and the Bnei Esav, they conquered the Chori. Well, who's talking about the Bnei Esav? And the Bnei Esav conquered the Chori just like Klal Yisrael conquered Eretz Canaan, they conquered Eretz Yisrael. What's the comparison? So you conquered and we conquered. Okay, so there's a lot of conquering going on. But what are the psukim telling us? Why are these psukim and chumash all together? So Rashi on Pasuk Yud, makes the following statement. Atos sovur shezo eretz refoim shenosati lo li Avram, lefi sheha emim sheheim refoim yoshvu bo lefonim, aval lo zohi, ki oson refoim horashti, mipnei bnei lot, vahoshavtim tachtom. Says Rashi as follows. We know that Avram Avinu was promised the land of the Rephaim. Where was Avram Avinu promised the land of the Rephaim? So if you go back to Parshas Lech Lecha, where the Torah describes the Bris Ben Absarim, the covenant between the parts, in which the Ribbono Shel Olam promises Avram Avinu Eretz Yisrael for him and his descendants. So there the Psukim say, read the Pasuk. And Bereishis Perek Tesvav Pasuk Yudches, Bayomahu Koras Hashem is Avram Bris Leymar. On that day Hashem made a covenant with Avram. Lizarucho Nosati es Haaretz Hazos, I gave you this land, I'm giving it to this to your children. And he lists off 10 nations. Es Hakeni ves Haknizi ves Hakadmoni, ves Hachiti ves Haprizi ves Harifoyim, yes, Emori, yes, Aknaini, yes, Girgashi, yes, Yevusi. Right? 10 nations are listed off there in Parshas Lech Lecha. One of those nations is the Rephaim. So says Rashi, you might have said as follows. Here we are, Klal Yisrael, about to go around the border of Moab. And we know that Moab was originally, the Moabim conquered a nation called the Rephaim. So wait a minute. The Rephaim were part of the inheritance that was promised to Avram Avinu, ultimately to go to Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael might have said the following thing. Wait a minute, you're telling us don't fight against the Moavim because Moav it was given as a Yerusha to Bnei Lot. But the Moavim themselves took over the land of the Rephaim. The land of the Rephaim was promised to Avram Avinu. So how come we can't take over that land of the Rephaim? So the answer to that is, you're right, Avram Avinu was promised certain lands of the Rephaim, but these Rephaim, I was given, Hashem says, I gave to Bnei Lot, to Moav, and this land you have to leave alone. You would have thought that Klal Yisrael would have had a claim on this land because it's the land of the Rephaim, but I'm telling you, you have to leave it alone. Comes the Ramban, quotes Rashi, but the Ramban says, I don't understand what Rashi is telling us over here. Meaning as follows. Rashi says, Klal Yisrael would have thought that that land of the Rephaim that was conquered by Moav, by rights, should have gone to Eretz to Klal Yisrael. Says the Ramban, why should they have thought that? He says as follows. Ani tame b'divrei harav. I can't understand Rashi. Lomo yifarish lanu hakosuv be'eretz Amon u'moav she'eino eretz Rephaim shenoson li'Avram. Why is Rashi saying that this is a different land of the Rephaim? Avram Avinu was promised a certain area of the Rephaim, but this is not it. This is not that. That, you know, there's an area of the Rephaim that was given to Avram Avinu, and this is something else. Why is he saying that? Rashi at kos of Rashi atzmo shenosan shtayim livnei lot bischar sheholach itolu mitzrayim v'shosak al masha omer alishto achosi hi. Rashi himself is going to write a little later on that the Ribbono Shel Olam took two portions which he had set aside for the children of Avram. And he gave those portions to the Bnei Lot. One portion became the land of Moav. One portion became the land of Ammon. Why did the Ribbono Shel Olam do that? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam said Lot deserves to be rewarded for his allegiance to Avram Avinu. When Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim and said about Sarah, she's my sister, she's not my wife, she's my sister, Lot knew the truth and he was quiet. So Lot's descendants were zocha to get two of the portions that were given to Avram Avinu. So says the Ramban, let's say that this land of the Rephaim was the land of the Rephaim that was promised to Avram Avinu. Nonetheless, it still makes sense that it could be the land that was promised to Avraham Avinu and yet given to Lot, a relative of Avraham Avinu, because that's Lot's reward for having been quiet when Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim. So he writes as follows. Aval pirish apsukim hefech medivrei harav. Ki ba'avur shomar HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'Moshe al tatzar esmoav. Ki ani nosati livnei lotis ar Yerusha. Yisapir HaKosuv ki ha'oretz ru'uyo lezer Avram. Lulei shenasono livnei lot. Vi'omar ki ha'oretz ahi yoshvu bo me'olam amgodo v'rom ka'anokim. L'chach yikru osam ha'moavim emim. L'gogol ha'ema she'yatilu ha'roeyem. Vinei Hashem also neis livnei lot l'kovod Avram. Vayichlu lohem vayirashum ipneihem. Ve'ein roi ligzol mehem ha'oretz asher nosan Hashem lohem b'maiseh ha'neis. So it goes on the Ramban to say as follows. Says the Ramban, I think pshat in the pasuk, what the psukim are driving at over here is actually the opposite of Rashi. Rashi says that the psukim are taking pains to tell us that this land, which is now Moav, was never the land that was promised to Avraham Avinu. Had it been promised to Avraham Avinu, so the implication, as Rashi said, the implication of Rashi is that Klal Yisrael would have had a right to it. Says the Ramban, no. This actually is part of the land that was promised to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu was promised the inheritance of 10 different nations. But the land that was promised to Avraham Avinu did not go exclusively to Klal Yisrael. Rashi himself, as the Ramban points out, makes this point in Parshas Lech Lecha, that the Keni, the Knizi, and the Kadmoni, three of the nations which are listed in Parshas Lech Lecha, never seemed to be subsequently promised to Klal Yisrael. And says Rashi, quoting from Chazal, those three lands actually became Edom, Ammon, and Moav. In other words, they were given to descendants of Avraham Avinu. They were in the possession of Edom, Ammon, and Moav up until such time that Moshiach comes, and then these three lands are going to go to Klal Yisrael. However, it's possible that land will be promised, that would have been promised to Avraham Avinu by the Bris Bein Havsarim, and then not given to Klal Yisrael, given instead to the Bnei Lot, or given instead to the Bnei Esav. So what are the Psukim saying? So the Psukim are telling Klal Yisrael as follows. It's true that this is the land of the Reform that was promised to Avraham Avinu. But still, you, Klal Yisrael, don't have a claim on it. Why? Because it was given to the Bnei Lot. And as he says, Hashem also neis livnei Lot, l'kovod Avraham. Kodesh Baruch Hu enabled the Bnei Lot to conquer this land, b'derech neis, in a miraculous fashion. What was the miraculous fashion? Because these Rephaim were a gigantic nation. That's what the Psukim are telling us. Ha'emim lefanim yashvuva. The nation that inhabited this land of Moab previously were Am Godo v'Rav v'Rom Ka'anokim. They were a gigantic nation. The Moavim should not have been able to conquer them. Ha'moavim yikru lehem emim. Indeed, that's why the Moavim called this nation the emim, the frightening ones. They were terribly frightened of these giants. B'derech ha'teva, in a natural sense, the Moavim should not have been able to conquer these giants. The Ribbono Shel Olam instead made a neis. He made a miracle for the Moavim in the schus of their descent, being descended from Lot, and they were able miraculously to conquer this land. So says the Ribbono Shel Olam to Moshe Rabbeinu, I gave this land of the Rephaim to Bnei Lot b'derech neis in a miraculous fashion. Ein roi ligzo mehem ha'aretz asher nosan Hashem lohem b'maiseh ha'neis. As such, it would be wrong for you, Klal Yisrael, to steal. That's the Lashon of the Ramban. It would be wrong for you, Klal Yisrael, to steal away this land from the Bnei Lot because they took it in a miraculous fashion. Now here I just want to stop here. Not stopping here for my roof, but I just want to stop in our explication of the Ramban and just point out something that's, I think, very, very striking in this Ramban. We take for granted when we go through the stories that are told in Chumash and the Tanakh that the conquest of Klal Yisrael by Eretz Yisrael under Yoshua was a Maisa Nissim. It was something that was incredibly miraculous, as detailed in many, many stories that are told in Sefer Yoshua. And we think, okay, it makes sense that Eretz Yisrael was conquered b'derech Nes because of the incredible importance of Klal Yisrael inhabiting Eretz Yisrael. We spoke about that last week, the mitzvah of Yishuva Eretz, according to the Ramban. And all of that is true. But the Ramban is saying over here that it goes beyond that. HaKadosh Baruch Hu extended a special bracha to all of the descendants and all of the relatives of Avraham Avinu, that whatever land they conquered, they did so in a miraculous fashion. That's true of Klal Yisrael conquering Eretz Yisrael. It's equally true of the Bnei Lot, of the Moavim, conquering the Amim who had lived in that land beforehand. How were they able to overcome the Amim? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam made a Nes for the Moavim. Why is the Ribbono Shel Olam making Nisim for the Moavim? Who cares about the Moavim? The Moavim have a connection to Avraham Avinu. The Nivruchu v'chakom mishmechoso adama. The Avraham Avinu is told time and time again he's a source of bracha. Ve'yei bracha. So anyone who's connected to Avraham Avinu is able to conquer lands v'derech Nes in a miraculous fashion. It's a fascinating thing when you think about it. It's not something we often think about. But in other words, even Moab's conquest was done b'derech Nes, was done in a miraculous way. Yeah. So they weren't descendants, but they were mishpacha, right? In other words, Lot was a nephew of Avraham Avinu. Lot was a brother-in-law of Avraham Avinu, right? So in other words, apparently this promise to Avraham Avinu, lezaracha, is taken even in the broader sense of the word. Even Lot, who's not progeny in the direct sense of the term, but he's mishpacha, right? So in other words, mishpacha gets this special bracha from the Ribbono Shel Olam that you're going to be able to take over lands b'derech Nes. Again, on my own, I wouldn't have said something like that, but that's the Ramban is coming and saying, not only is that true, but that's the whole point of the psukim. More than that, he says, that's the continuation of the psukim as well. Uv'seir yoshvu hachorim lefonim. In Seir, which was taken over by Edom, by Esav, was originally inhabited by the chorim. So who are these chorim? So the Ramban suggests that the chorim are none other than the chivi. We know there's Shiva Amimim. We know that there's seven nations that inhabit Eretz Yisrael. One of them is the chivi. What's the word chivi mean? So in Aramaic, chivya is a snake. So the chivi apparently were so called, says the Ramban, because of some connection. They were called the snake people. Why were they called the snake people? The Ramban doesn't comment. Maybe they were cunning like a snake. Maybe they were dangerous like a snake. But in other words, they were known as the snake people. Where do snakes live? So, as the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, a snake very often lives in a hole in the ground. Right? It's not a comment on the nature of his apartment, right? But he lives literally in a hole in the ground. Right? The Pasuk says in Yeshaya, the child is going to play around on top of the hole where the snake lives. What's a hole in Hebrew? Chor. The chori, says the Ramban, are the ones who dwell in the hole. In other words, they're the chivi. They're the same as the snake people. Chori and chivi are one and the same. And he goes on to illustrate that, not just based on the linguistics, but based on the pasuk as well. It says in Bereishis, Perek Lamed Vav, that Esav married a woman, Ahalivama bas Ana bas Tzivon hachivi. In other words, Esav married a woman who was from the chivi, and Tzivon later on, this Tzivon who's identified as being from the chivi, was Mibnei Seir Hachori Yoshvei Haaretz. He's identified later on in that same parak as coming from the children of Seir HaChori. So which is Yachivi or Chori? So says the Ramban, it's the same thing, because if you think about the linguistics behind it, Chivi means a snake, Chor means the hole in which the snake is to be found. The Ramban in that context also makes another very common sort of derech agav, sort of by the way, which I haven't seen previously, but it's an interesting comment. Towards the end of Chumash, we find that Klal Yisrael is referred to with the name Yeshurun. Right, in our davening every day, if you get the davening early enough, right, it says in the davening, Karasa Shmo Yisrael V'Yeshurun. Where do we find that Klal Yisrael is referred to as Yeshurun? So really at the end of Chumash, we find it in Parshas Hazino, we find it in Parshas V'Zos HaBracha. What's Yeshurun mean? So it's a debate among Mefarshim. But many Mefarshim understand that Yeshurun is from the Lashon of Yashar. Straight, honest, without any trickery or anything like that. Says the Ramban, we sometimes find that if a person is called by a name which is somewhat offensive, they'll sometimes be called by a different name that seeks to take some of the edge off of the primary name. So he says, for instance, this example of Chivi and Chori. Chivi and Chori are the same. So why is Chivi called Chori? Because, to call somebody a snake, not such a nice thing. So instead of calling the guy a snake, you call a guy, you're from that hole in the ground. I guess it's a little bit nicer. We could take a vote afterwards to see if you'd rather be called a snake or a guy who comes from the hole in the ground, but it's supposed to be maybe a little nicer. Klal Yisrael was originally called Al Shem Yaakov. What's Yaakov? The tricky one, right? The one who went for the heel, the underhanded one. It's not such a nice name on a certain level. So says the Ramban, that's why Klal Yisrael at the end of Chumash is referred to as Yeshurun. Yeshurun is supposed to be a name which is sort of the antidote to Yaakov. Yaakov, the tricky one. Yeshurun, the honest, the straight one, the one who doesn't have any kunzes or any shtick. He says as an aside, in his discussion over here. Okay, so let's go back to our pasuk. Why all of a sudden does it describe how the Chori dwelled in Seir, and Edom and Esav came and took them over? So says the Ramban, because it's continuing the very same idea which the Pasuk had just said a few moments ago about the Rephaim, i.e. the Amim, who were taken over by the Bnei Moav. The Bnei Moav, as descendants of Lot, were Zocha to a certain Siyata D'Shmaya, and they were able to conquer these mighty Amim, these mighty Rephaim, in a way that was Bederach Nes, in a way that was miraculous. Similarly, Uvaseir Yashua Chorim Lefonim. In the land of Seir, originally Seir was inhabited by the Chori, by the Chivi. They were a mighty and very, very difficult nation. They were a difficult nation to be able to fight against. Nonetheless, Bnei Esav Yiroshum Vayashmidum Ibneim Vayeshvu Tachtom. Nonetheless, the Bnei Esav were able to go in and eradicate these Chivi, these Chori who had been in that land. What gave them the ability to do so? So says the Ramban, Bnei Esav, Shehem Zera Avraham. The children of Esav are direct descendants of Avraham Avinu, and that gave them the power to fight against the Chivi, because the Chivi, after all, are among those 10 nations that were promised to Avraham Avinu. L'zarachon osati es ha'aretz hazos. These 10 nations are going to be delivered into the hands of your children, including Klal Yisrael, but also including the Bnei Lot, and also including the Bnei Esav. They will have power against the Chivi. And that, says the Ramban, is the end of Pasuk Yud Beis over here. Kasher also Yisrael Eretz Yerushaso, Asher Nosan Hashem Lohem. The Bnei Esav were able to conquer the Chori, just in the same way that the Bnei Yisrael were able to conquer their land, i.e. Eretz Yisrael. What kind of what are we talking about? The Bnei Esav were able to conquer the Chori. Yeah, okay. People have conquered other people throughout history. Says the Ramban, the comparison is as follows. just as Bnei Yisrael were able to conquer B'derech Nes, so too the Bnei Esav were able to conquer B'derech Nes. And just as the Bnei Yisrael were able to conquer the land which they did because of the promise given to Avraham Avinu that Lizarach Onosati is Haaretz Hazos, so too Esav was able to conquer the area of Seir. They were able to conquer the Chori, the Chivi in Seir. Why? Because Lizarach Onosati is Haaretz Hazos. It's the very same promise that was given to Avraham Avinu that manifested itself with regard to Klal Yisrael taking over Eretz Yisrael, and manifested itself as well with the Bnei Esav being able to take over the land which they conquered as well. Again, it's a fascinating idea. There's a tremendous chus associated with being a descendant of Avraham Avinu, even beyond the schus which is associated with Klal Yisrael specifically. Anyone, the Bnei Esav, the Bnei Lot, if you're related or certainly descended from Avraham Avinu in some way or another, you're a party to that incredible promise that was made by the Bris Ben Habsarim. That also explains as well a few other diyukim in these psukim. In Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Pasuk says, Rifa'im yechoshvu afhem ka'anokim. The Rifa'im, whom we referenced before, are considered also to be like giants. And that whole phrase seems to be extraneous. We just got through saying that ho'emim lefonim yoshvu va, right? Am gadol v'rav v'ram ka'anokim. The emim lived in the land that was taken over by Moab, and the emim were a mighty and gigantic nation. So good. And v'amovim yikru lohem emim. The Moabim would call these Rifoim Amim. What's Rifoim Yechoshvu Avhem Ka Anokim? The Rifoim are considered also to be Anokim, to be giants. So the Ramban, in a fascinating interpretation, says as follows. What's the word Yechoshvu mean? So we translate Yechoshvu, they're considered. But says the Ramban, the word Yechoshvu is also related to the word Choshuv. They're significant, not just that they're considered. So in other words, he says as follows, Refoim yechoshvu afheim ka'anokim. The Refoim were not only considered like anokim, but they were significant. They're significant insofar as they're part of the promise that was made to Avraham Avinu. They're an am choshuv. They're a distinguished and significant nation insofar as this promise goes with the Bris Bein Habesorim. And one more pasuk, which we encounter a little bit later on. When Klal Yisrael, a little bit later in the parasha, come to Ammon, they're also told, Al Titzureim v'al Tiskarbam, don't make war against the people of Ammon. The nation of Ammon was given to the Bnei Lot as a Yerusha. Eretz Rifoim Techoshe Vafhi. That also, the land which was taken over by Ammon, was originally overseen, or originally inhabited by the Rephaim. By this time already we know that the Rephaim, the fact that it belonged to the Rephaim means that it was land that was promised to Avraham Avinu. Elsewhere the Ramban says that the Rephaim are identical with the Chivi as well. So the Chivi were called Chivi, they were called Chori, they were called Rephaim, they had multiple different names. And we're told, V'ha'amonim, Yikru lahem zamzumim. The Ammonim used to refer to these Rifoim as zamzumim. So again, on the surface it sounds like too much information. What do I care? If the Moavim used to call these Rifoim Amim. The Ammonim used to call these Rifoim zamzumim. What do I care? What do I care what you call them exactly? By the way, what does zamzumim mean? So he writes, Ha'amonim, yikruhem zamzumim, klomar, am shelo yibotzer mehem kol asher yozmu la'asos. The Rifoim were such a powerful nation that whatever they conceived and wanted to do, they were able to carry out. The Ramban uses a lashon that's associated with the Dor HaFloga. Whatever they have in mind, they're going to be able to carry out. Again, it's a lashon that indicates this was a powerful nation who, b'derech hateva, in a in a naturalistic fashion, shouldn't have been able to be defeated. It was only Bederech Neis, because the Ribbono Shel Olam did Nisim for the children and the descendants of Avraham Avinu, that they were able to be defeated by the Ammonim. We see what an incredible schus it is to be associated with Avraham Avinu, not only as a member of Klal Yisrael, but even as an Ammoni, even as a Moavi, even as an Edomi. The schus of Avraham Avinu was such that it was able to create Nisim for all of these nations in a way, if not entirely comparable, at least somewhat comparable to the manner in which Eretz Yisrael, Klal Yisrael were able to be Yorish, to able to come in and conquer Eretz Yisrael.